What we are going to do during this hour is we are going to learn how to present the gospel and rather than for me to try and tell you, what I would like to do is to have one volunteer and then for me to demonstrate how you do it. And during this hour, I think I'm going to ask you not to take notes, but just to kind of sit back and leave the driving to me, so to speak. And I'll be the Greyhound bus driver and, you know, show you how I go about presenting the gospel to other people. So if I could have somebody volunteer how to do, I will show you how to do this. Okay, thank you, Danny. Now, what I'm going to do, because next week or the next time we get together, I'm going to show you how we are going to get where we're going to start today. But we're going to presuppose that somehow I have kind of, you know, been talking with Danny and I have brought him to the place now where he is ready to listen to me, share the gospel, that I've listened to him and have drawn him out. And now he's saying to me, well, how does a man become a Christian? And we will suppose we are at that point, and next week I will show you how to get there. And in our progression of doing this, it might be better if I did it the other way, but I want to get into your learning how to present the gospel. Because this is what, you know, the major part of this semester is going to be given to in terms of evangelism. And then we'll kind of back up and you will see how all of this is going to flow together. Now what I'm going to show you today is what I call the Socratic form of evangelism, which we will get into in probably one of the last lessons that we do. But it is a form of doing evangelism where everything that I wanted to tell him, I'm going to extract it from him, and he's going to tell me. Okay, again, we're going to suppose that we're at the place where Danny has come to the point where he's ready, and we're going to begin where I say to him, there are basically three things that a man must understand to become a Christian. First of all, the Bible tells us that it was God who created man. And the Bible says that God took that man and placed him in a garden, and there man and God had beautiful fellowship and communion together. But one day something happened in that garden that caused a barrier to be erected so that man now was no longer capable of having fellowship and communion with God. And I wonder if you know what that was.
That was sin. Man disobeyed God.
Okay, so it was sin where man disobeyed God that caused that barrier to be erected. Now, we could come along, Danny, and redraw that illustration and come down here and take and put man standing on one cliff, come over here and take and place God standing on another cliff, and it was the sin which separated man from God. Now there's a verse in the Bible that talks about that, and it's found over here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, and I wonder if you'd be kind enough to read that passage to me.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Okay, in this passage it says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Now, does that mean that I've sinned?
Yes.
And does that mean that you have sinned?
Yes.
Because the Bible says that all have sinned. And that's the first thing that a man must understand. So let's just take and write that down. And that's in Romans 3:23. Now, the second thing that a man must understand to become a child of God is found for us over here in Romans chapter 6 in verse 23. And here the author draws a conclusion to this whole matter of sin. And again, I am going to ask you to take and to read that verse to me.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, here it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Danny, God doesn't expect you to come here to this earth to break your back and to till the ground and to make the world a better place to live for nothing. In fact, God fully intends to reward us for everything that we have ever done. But here he says that the wage or the reward for our sin is what?
Death.
He says it's death. Now, that is the second thing that a man must understand to become the child of God. So let's just take and write that down here, that the wage for our sin is death. Now, Danny, we could say a lot of things about death, but if we take and reduce it to its simplest form, or in mathematics we say to its least common denominator, death is nothing more than separation. A few years ago, my grandmother died, and now she is in one place, and I am in another place, and death has separated us. And this is basically what happened when man sinned. He was cut off and spiritually separated from God and no longer capable of having fellowship and communion. Now, the third thing that a man must understand is found for us over in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27. And I wonder if you would be kind enough to read that passage to me.
And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Okay, it says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, there is coming a what?
Judgment.
Okay, and that is the third thing that a man must understand to become the child of God, is that once he has died, that he is going to take and stand in judgment. Now, Danny, if it is true that all have sinned and that the wage and the penalty for our sin is death or separation from God, and there is coming a day of judgment, that doesn't paint a very pretty picture, does it?
No, it doesn't, Dave.
And basically, down through the ages, men have understood this. And consequently, as a result of that, have tried to take and to build a bridge or to take and to make their way back to God. They try one thing and that doesn't work, and they come along and they try something else and that doesn't work, and they come along and they try something else in an effort to bridge that gap. But the Bible says all of our efforts fall short. But what is it that men try and do to make their way back to God? What do they do?
Well, they might try some good works.
Okay, they could come along and try good works. What else could they do?
Maybe religion.
Okay, could try religion over here. What else?
Work hard, morality or something.
Okay, to have a high moral standard. And all of these things, but the Bible says that man's effort simply falls short. But the beautiful thing is that the Bible does not stop there. It goes on to tell us that over in John chapter 5 and in verse 24, and I wonder if you would be kind enough to read that passage to me. Verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Okay, in this passage, And Jesus says, "Truly, truly, Danny, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." So here Jesus is saying, he that hears my word and believes on him, God, who sent me, three things happen. What are they, according to this passage?
He has everlasting life.
Okay, it says that he has everlasting life.
He shall not come into condemnation.
Okay, it says he shall not come to judgment or condemnation.
And he's passed from death to life.
Okay, and it says that he is passed from death to what kind of life is it talking about in the passage?
Well, from the earlier reference, eternal life.
Okay.
And everlasting life.
It says here in the first part of that verse that he is talking basically about everlasting life. Now, Danny, it's interesting to take and look at the construction of this because, first of all, it says that he has everlasting life. Now, is that the present tense, the past tense, or the future tense?
That's the present tense.
Okay, and what does that mean in the present tense?
I guess that would mean, Dave, right now, I would have this thing called everlasting life.
Okay, and so what he is saying that presently, right now, a man can have everlasting life. Then secondly, it says he shall not come to judgment. Now, is this the present tense, the past tense, or the future tense?
I believe the tense is changed to future, shall not.
And so what does that mean in that context?
Well, I guess it would mean that when the time of conclusion or God has judgment, if I have this everlasting life, I'm not going to come into that condemnation or judgment in the future.
Okay, so that at some future date, you do not have to worry about judgment. And then down here, it says he has passed from death to life. Is that the present, the future, or the past tense?
Well, it says when this happens, it's the past tense. I've already passed from death to life.
Okay, so that it's something that has already transpired, that a man has passed from death unto life. So here Jesus is saying, Danny, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on God who has sent me, presently today has everlasting life. He shall not come to judgment at some future date because he has already passed from death unto what kind of life?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. And so, Danny, if you were to come along in this illustration and were to take and to chalk yourself in, where would you take and put yourself? Or let's come along and let's just draw this. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word. Who's speaking here?
Jesus.
Okay, Jesus is speaking, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Because Jesus Christ came into the world, died, paid the penalty for our sin, that man once again could take and to come into fellowship and communion with God. In one verse in the Bible, a translation, it says this, God is on one side, and all the people on the other, and Christ Jesus himself, a man, is in between to bring them together. Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was dead and buried and rose again the third day. And this is what Christ did when he died upon the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin that man could take and have everlasting life. Because if we come along, if a man has everlasting life, we can cross out death, can't we? If he shall not come into judgment, we can come along and scratch out judgment. Now, Danny, if you were to take and to draw yourself into this illustration, where would you put yourself?
Dave, I guess I would be somewhere over here.
Okay.
I'd like to put it right there, maybe.
All right. So you are standing right there. Now, Danny, is that where you want to be?
No, I'd be like anybody else. I'd like to be over here.
You'd like to be over on this side. But the question is, Danny, do you understand how to get from here over to there?
Well, I think I'm further ahead than I was 10 minutes ago, but I'm not sure I fully understand.
Okay. Now, there is a verse here in this same gospel in John chapter 1 and in verse 12, and I wonder if you would be kind enough to take and to read that passage to me.
But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Okay, so here Jesus is saying, but to as many as do what?
It says receive.
Okay. Jesus is saying, but to as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become what?
The sons of God.
Okay, it says that he becomes a son of God. So the question is, do you understand how to receive Jesus Christ? Because it says you must receive him to have eternal life. So do you understand how a man receives Christ, or do you know how a man receives Christ?
Not really. I just know I should from what the Bible says here.
Okay.
How do you do that?
Well, there's a verse over here in Revelation and in chapter 3 and verse 20, and I wonder if you would be kind enough again to take and to read this passage to me. Verse 20.
Behold, I believe that's it, yeah. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me.
Okay, and here in this passage, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup, and that word means to live, to abide, to make his abode with him. And he with me. So first of all, he's saying here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you have any idea who that is talking about, Danny?
You mean who he's talking to?
No, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who is standing at the door and knocking? Who's speaking here?
I guess it's Christ.
Okay, it's Jesus Christ. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you have any idea what door that is that he is knocking at?
Is it a figurative language, the door of my life, or heart, or head, or
yeah,
like
basically
that?
He is talking about the door to your life, the door to your heart. And here it says that Jesus is standing there and he is knocking at that door. Why is he knocking?
I guess he has a desire to come in.
That's right. And Jesus is standing there knocking at that door because he wants to come in. And to receive Jesus Christ is all you have to do is when we pray is to take and invite Jesus Christ to come in to your heart and in your life. Now, are you willing to take and receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Danny, when we pray, there are three things that I'm going to ask you to pray. First of all, to take and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Secondly, to come into your heart and life. And thirdly, to give you the gift of everlasting life. So when you pray, first of all, forgive my sins. Second, come into my life. Third, to give me the gift of everlasting life. So what are the three things again?
I believe they're forgiveness of sins.
Yeah. Second,
come into my life.
Come into your life. And third,
give me the gift of eternal life.
To give you that gift of eternal life. So I'm going to take and ask you to pray those three things. One, forgive my sin. Two, come into my life. Three, to give me that gift of everlasting life, and that God would help you to become the kind of man that He wants you to become. So I'm going to take and ask you to pray that, Danny, and I'm going to ask you to pray it loud enough so that I can hear, because when you have finished praying, then I also would like to say a prayer for you.
So, who am I going to talk to, Dave?
Well, you're going to talk to God Himself. And so when we pray, is all we've got to do is you just tell God that these are the three things that you want to do. So again, the three things are what?
Forgiveness of sins.
To forgive your sins.
I'm asking Christ to come into my life.
Yeah.
And I'm asking for eternal life, the gift of God, which is eternal life.
That's right. Okay, so let's pray, and for you to pray loud enough so that when you finish, then I can pray.
Father, I realize I'm a sinner, and I ask you, first of all, to forgive me of my sins. And then, Lord, I ask, as Your word has said, I ask Christ to come into my life. I just receive Christ right now. And then, Father, I just ask for the gift that You want to give me, that gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would give it to me now.
Father, I thank You that You have heard Danny's prayer and that You have forgiven his sin. And because he has invited Jesus Christ to come into his heart and life, that at this very moment that You dwell within his heart. And then, Father, I pray and thank You that You have given to him that gift of everlasting life. And I pray that in the days to come that You would help him to become the kind of man that You desire for him to be, and commit him to You now today. In Jesus' name, amen. Danny, suppose you were to die right now, where would you go?
What do you mean, where would I go?
Suppose you were to take and just, you know, had a cardiac arrest, and all of my efforts to resuscitate you were in vain. Where are you going to wake up?
Well, I hope in heaven.
You hope in heaven. But you don't know.
Well, I think I'm closer to it than I was 15 minutes ago.
Okay. But let's just go back. Jesus said, but to as many as receive Him, to them He gave the power to become what?
I believe it said the Son of God.
That's right. So if you were to die at this very moment, having done what you have just come done, where would you be?
Well, I guess I'd be a son of God.
And where do the sons of God go when they die? To be with Him or separated from Him?
I guess with Him.
You guess.
Well, I hope so.
Well, Danny, let me just take and show you another verse. which is related to this whole subject. And I wonder if you'd be kind enough to take and read for me 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13.
And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Okay, now, Danny, according to these passages, God wants you to know one thing beyond the shadow of a doubt. What is that?
That I have eternal life.
Okay. Does he want you to hope so or think so? Or he says he wants you to...
know so in these verses.
That's right. Now, Danny, according to this passage, there are only two kinds of people. Now, we come along and we say this one is rich and this one is poor. We say this one is black and this one is white. And we make all kinds of classifications about people. But when God takes and looks down on us, according to these passages, there are only two kinds of people. What are they?
People that have the Son and people that don't have the Son.
Okay. There are those who have the Son and those who don't have the Son. Now, those who have the Son have what?
If you have the Son, the Bible says you have eternal life.
And if you don't have the Son?
You don't have that life.
Okay. Now, a few moments ago, before we started to talk, which of these two were you?
Well, I didn't have the Son, and I didn't have life.
But which are you now?
Well, Dave, I received the Son, so I have life.
Okay. And let's just suppose that this is Jesus Christ and this is eternal life. He says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, when you have the Son, what do you also have with it? The Bible represents
eternal life.
Eternal life.
So if I have the Son, then I have eternal life.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying, but that's what. What is saying?
The Bible.
That's right. It says, this is the record that God has given to us. What is the record?
The record would be the Bible.
And the record is the Bible. And he says there's one thing he wants you to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, and that is what?
That I have eternal life.
So if you were to die right now, Danny, where are you going to wake up?
In heaven.
And how do you know that?
Well, Dave, you've helped me to see, because I have the Son and I've received him, then I have eternal life, because that life is in the Son. Thank you.
And Danny, you know, I just want you to understand that, because before this day is over with, the devil is going to come and say, now, listen, Danny, you know, that's too simple. After the way you've lived and the things that you've done, you think you're going to go to heaven just because you said that little prayer? Grow up, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I want you to be able to do, Danny, is to take and turn to that verse, and when the devil asks you that, you just quote it to him. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so, Danny, knowing that the devil's going to do that, I'm going to take and just ask you if you would memorize those verses for me. Would you do that?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Now, the last part of that, trying to give him the assurance of salvation, is not a part of this, but I felt like we needed to go on and at least do that much. Danny?